This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan, and I'm so glad you're here. I'd love for you to pull up a chair and get comfortable as we have a really fun conversation today with our guest, Gwen Smith. Gwen, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for joining us.
I'm so excited to be here, Katie. Thank you for having
yes,
me.
Yes, and I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today. But before we go into it, let me introduce you to the rest of the listeners. Gwen is the author of I Want It All and Broken into Beautiful. She's also the co-author of Trusting God and Knowing God by Name. Gwen is one of three co-founders of Girlfriends in God, a conference and devotional ministry, which I have recently had the honor of joining the writing team for Girlfriends in God. Yay. And I just loved being a part of that. And then also one thing that I love that Gwen does that I've already told her I'm going to have to contact you about this, but Gwen does one-on-one personal coaching for Christian women who want to grow professionally and spiritually. So it's a kind of a fun time of year to dream maybe, or maybe you've just been sitting with this thought of starting a ministry or stepping into a calling that you feel like God has on your heart. And Gwen would love to help you do that. And so you can find out more about that at gwensmith.net/coaching. And let me go ahead and spell your name because I say it Southern. And so it probably, but it's G-W-E-N. So it's probably there Gwen, not Gwen, but.
I always say it's like Stefani. There you go.
There Gwen. You go. Gwen. Okay. And somehow we all know that. Like, you know exactly what you're talking sure. about. I love it. And so I feel like we have so much to talk about today. And, you know, we're in the middle of a series on the podcast just about God's word, about scripture. Mm. And I think it's something that is super familiar, but not always easy to pull into the rhythms of our everyday lives. And so there's a couple of things as I've learned more about you and just spent some time with your ministry, Gwen. There's a few things that I want to talk about. But here's the first thing I want to ask you about. As I was on your website and looking around, the word grace kept coming up. I know you have kind of paused in recording your podcast, but I know grace was a big part of the podcast that you used to record. And then I even heard you say a phrase that just really kind of excited me. But it kind of was posing the question of what does grace look like in 2022? Because we are in quite unique circumstances at this point. So I would love to begin there because grace, as it relates to God's word, that is something we hear about, we read about, we may even say. But I don't know if we always know how to include that and like live that. So let's start with that. What does grace look like in 2022?
Okay, this is a great conversation to have. Man, I would say that grace for me and what I'm learning and growing in with grace is I feel like it's the space that we need to pivot towards the heart of God in wherever we find ourselves. So the Bible in John, first chapter, he talks about Jesus being the Word. He was the Word made flesh, and that he came as the embodiment of both truth and grace. And when I think of, what better picture can we have of grace than literally Jesus? There is no better picture. And so when I think of grace today for me, it is holding loosely that which I expect of myself and maybe habits that are healthy and habits that are harmful and adjusting and continually tweaking toward the heart of God. I would say it's building margin, which I'm terrible at, Katie. This is so if you're listening, do not think that we are standing on some platform of perfection. Not this girl. I definitely am desperate for grace, the grace of God that allows me to press that reset button. Mm. I mean, do you remember probably 10 years ago, this is there was an office supply company who used to have a button that said that's easy.
Yes,
there is no easy button. There was an easy button, and it's like, no, there is no easy button, especially in 2022. There are so many variables in life that are now moving versus fixed, mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. are more variable. If you go back to my business degree, mm-hmm. which is what I studied in college. And so there, because of that, I feel like grace in 2022 is a daily reckoning. It's a continual dialogue with Jesus of repentance. That's the first words of John the Baptist's ministry, and his whole point was to prepare the way for Jesus. The very first words he said was repent, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we're afraid to say that now. Mm-hmm. And yet, if you think about what God honors most, it is humility, and it is really this acknowledgement of, oh my word, I am messing this up again, Lord. Mm-hmm. It is that willingness to be honest with God. Here's a story of what grace is to me. All right, so this is 2022, but back about 20 years, when my middle son was about 2 years old, I had three little ones in 3.5 years, Katie. I know that you can completely connect. You know what I'm talking about. But when my kids were little, I actually used to use baby gates, and I unapologetically endorse them. But I would put baby gates in the playroom, and just so we can kind of harness the crazy, if you will. And
I do understand.
And one, I'm sure you do. One day, Hunter was missing. We were just playing. I was probably reading a book to Kennedy. A gate was open, and all of a sudden, my 2-year-old was gone. And so, of course, like any great mom, I said to my 4-year-old, watch your 8-month-old sister. I'll be right back. And so I closed them in, locked them in. And then I went around the house like, Hunter, went on in search of my 2-year-old. So I thought, first floor, didn't find him, just calling out Hunter. I went down to the basement, and we lived up in Pennsylvania at the time, unfinished basement, all the things. They used to always play there, and he was not in the basement. And now I'm starting to get mm-hmm. that panic mom feeling like, oh my word, is the front mm-hmm. door locked? Like, where's my child? So I went upstairs to the bedrooms and went straight to his Winnie the Pooh bedroom, no Hunter. And now I'm like getting that, oh. And so I start running to bedroom to bedroom. I'm like, Hunter, where are you? Hunter, where are you? He wasn't in his sister's bedroom. He wasn't in his brother's bedroom. Finally, I crossed the threshold to my bedroom, and in the mirror of my master bathroom, I saw everything I needed to know about where my son was and what he had been doing. Let me just say, this was in the day of camcorders. We did not have iPhones that could record everything. I literally stopped in my tracks. He had not noticed me yet. I ran downstairs to get the camcorder because I was like, oh, I
document
need to
this.
I need to record this. Yes. I get upstairs, and literally my son had not only been playing with my red lipstick, but it was in every nook and cranny. It was on, it was all over him. It was all over his face. It was all over my floor. It was in my grout. Right. It was on my white towels. It was on the sink. It was on the bathtub. It was on the everything. And as I walked in the room, Katie, I said, Hunter, what are you doing? And that little stinker took the red lipstick in his hand and hid it behind my back and looked at me and said, nothing. He looked at me and goes, nothing, mommy. And I'm like, Hunter, what are you doing? And he held that red lipstick literally behind his back. He's like, nothing, mommy. And I'm like, buddy, pulled it out. And I was like, Hunter, are you allowed to play with mommy's lipstick? He's like, yes. I'm like, no, you are not. And you know it. And so I said, and I was like, hold on, buddy, we got it. I got to throw. So first thing I did was toss the lipstick. I threw it in the trash. And then I took off his shirt. I wiped him down, cleaned him off, sent him to his room to have a little thinking session about this while I headed back to the bathroom to clean up what there's no way my little 2-year-old could possibly mm-hmm. have cleaned up. And so I think about mm-hmm. what's grace look like in 2022, a lot like the bathroom scene. Mm-hmm. It's a daily, good. It's being honest with myself every day, like, daggone, I got these red lipsticks, Lord, and I want to come before you and I want to hide them behind my back. I want to hide behind my back the fact that I probably spent a full hour scrolling on Instagram and watching those reels today, but about, you know, 5 minutes talking to you. It's the red lipstick of being stubborn when I'm, you know, frustrated with my husband, or, you know, there's just, I could list out how many ways I just would say grace is about this continual dialogue with Jesus, this continual laying down, this continual willingness to create the space for that conversation and for the cleansing that only He can do, that, you know, and mm-hmm. To recognize, I think that some of what messes me up so much is not that God isn't with me, because He is Emmanuel, He is always with me, but instead I think some of the limitations in my life are because I forget to, I lack the awareness of His presence in what I'm
mm-hmm,
doing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about that on one of the other podcasts that we recorded about just the awareness of Him in your everyday life. And there were so many things that you have just said that I really kind of want to go back through and touch on a few of them. Repentance is one I want to come back to, because, I mean, you're like all up in my space right now. I mean, this is like me and God last night. Okay. So
I'm with you.
So I'm like, oh boy. So we're coming back to that. But before we get to that, two things. One, I loved what you said about there's no easy button, because here's the thing, is that it's not even that there's no easy button with the things that have always been difficult. It's that the things that used to be easy aren't easy anymore. The things that used to be automatic and used to be something you could do without really thinking about it, you can't even do that anymore. Those have become difficult because of the ever-changing circumstances that we find ourselves in. And this is as a world. This isn't even in our individual circumstances, which are layered on top of the worldwide situations that we find ourselves in at this time in history. And so when you were saying that, I mean, I thought about like taking my kids to school. There's no easy button. I mean, it's changing daily. So while we used to have at the beginning of the year, you get the schedule for the year and that's what it is and that's how it goes. And, or at the beginning of the sports season, you get the schedule and that's how it is. And that, how none of that applies anymore. That's not even an easy button. It's that daily something might change and you have to adapt and you have to adjust and you have to do it as a family, or you have to do it as an office. And you're always up against the next challenge, it seems, or the next speed bump, even in the things that used to be easy. So I think that's really something that it's worth just pausing to acknowledge, because if we can really at least acknowledge that what we are dealing with everything has become a little more difficult.
Yeah.
And then the next thing, I love what you've said, because I will tell you, it's been a few months, but I was talking with someone, and I'm going to get a little personal here. I hope that just as women, we all kind of get this. I hope I'm not the only one. But like, if I am ever a little more emotional than usual, or I usually am like, it's got to be, there's something going on in the hormones, right? Like, this has to be a natural hormonal situation. And so I was talking with someone and I was asking her opinion on what in the world might be going on with my hormones because of, you know, these things that have been happening. And she kindly said, yeah, no, it's not your hormones. And then she went on and asked something about, like, how are things in life? You know, and we had buried loved ones, you know, multiple loved ones in the last few months. And we had stresses happening at home and at work. And then she said, give yourself grace. And it's something I've heard before. And in that moment, I thought, what does that mean? Like, what exactly do you want me to do when you say, give yourself grace? And I'm pretty sure I've said it to other people, give yourself grace. But I think that's what you've been describing here. And I would even say, so often I think about grace as something I'm supposed to give to other people. And yet I never consider applying the grace of God to my life. And I think it's a really good place to begin with, how do I give myself grace? How do you give yourself grace? Mm-hmm. Which leads us to this point of repentance, which, like you said, is the first thing. It's the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist. And that's where I was last night. And what I was thinking about is how little we do that. You know, we come to God in prayer, and we may even worship Him in prayer. We will certainly present our requests to Him in prayer. We may come to His Word, but I personally, I'm not going to speak for anyone else or put this on anyone else, but I know that personally, I will oftentimes skip over the repentance piece of coming to Christ. And in as I was considering that, what I landed on is the freedom on the other side of repentance. Because I feel like, and Gwen, you can speak to this, and if you maybe you have a different perspective, but I feel like when we don't repent, it is almost like, okay, I'm going to fix that tomorrow. I'm going to get that right, which is the opposite of grace.
It's flesh-led versus
spirit-led. Which is, it's works. It's I'm going to do it, which is not grace. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that freedom that comes with repentance and why we might hesitate or towards repenting daily.
Okay. So many things, Katie, so many things. Okay. The one thing that comes to mind is, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I do travel a lot as a speaker and worship artist, all the things. And so recently I had gone to the airport, and when I went to, through security, and I was stepping up into the scanner, the guy usually says, come on in, put your feet on the yellow, you know, the yellow feet marks. But instead he said, I need you to stay there. We need to recalibrate the machine. And so there was a couple minutes when the machine just went back and forth and back and forth so that it could be accurate and so that it could be, you know, where it needed to be. And so I thought, oh my word, that's grace. It's coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, recalibrate my heart and realign it to your will. You know, allow me to really exemplify and embody the fruit of your spirit. That is, we have the Holy Spirit living within us as believers in Christ. So that means that our lives should echo the fruit of that. We should be women and believers and followers of Christ who people look and see love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Hello. I mean, if we just looked at what is grace in 2022, that's going to be like grace in every year, but it is a recalibration of our hearts to His so that we then better reflect Him and echo Him to the world, because our world is desperate for hope. So there's that. And then you talked, you know, one of the things that you kind of brought back from my initial lipstick conversation is the grind intention of it all. And you know what, that's the bottom line is, I think no matter who it is, if we're all just sitting around the table, we're just fooling ourselves. If any of us would sit and go, yeah, I don't have a repentance problem. I don't need to deal with this. It's the reality for all of us. And there are so many ways we experience that stress. I mean, you had a great loss, you know, within your family, within the sphere of your loved ones. We all have friends who are going through deep suffering. I was just in my time with the Lord this morning, and I'm reading the lovely book of Job right now. It is, you know, there is just such a predominance of suffering in the world. And it's, we just can't be like little Pollyannas going, oh, it's all good. I don't want to have a bumper sticker faith. I don't want to have a, you know, God is great all the time. God is good. It's true. But life hurts, and it can sock you upside the head and sting so violently that we just have to be present with our people, acknowledge the pains, and then you know, then recalibrate our heart to the fact that God is our deliverer. He is our strength. He is the hope that we need. You know, Jesus, one of the names in the Bible for God is Mikvah Israel, which is the hope of Israel. And so, and, you know, you mentioned earlier that I co-wrote the book Names of God. Knowing God by Name. And I wrote that with my girlfriends and God, you know, co-founders, Sharon Janes and Mary Sutherland. And when we wrote that, we were looking specifically at names of God in the Bible. And one of the ones that I wanted to explore was that it was the name Hope, Mikvah Israel. And there is just such a desperate need for it in all of our lives that I think, you know, with grace, a lot of times I think it's practical. I'm a coffee girl. I try to limit myself to one cup a day just because I think that's a really healthy place to be for me. It's just a personal choice. But I'm trying to be present with the Lord, even in quiet, in the spiritual discipline of solitude, in reflection, while I drink my coffee. Like I'm trying to, it's so easy for me to drink my coffee, scroll on Instagram. And we're seeing this theme, this recurring theme. But it is, I'm trying to be more present. And I think that that's part of grace is just, it's allowing yourself that time to, you know, even if you're a young mom and you're like, I never have a minute to myself. I used to escape to the bathroom and lock the door, just be like, okay, I have to go to the bathroom. And I'd sit on a toilet and just, okay, I need myself. I need to gather my wits about
right.
me. I think that, you know, there's just, I think that it's acknowledging there is a big tension. We've got so many stressful things happening in our world. We've got, you know, political tension, racial tension. We're not agreeing with people online, in person, in the space of mandates, of, you know, vaccinations, all the things that are super, everyone's got an opinion and everyone's opinion is right. That's where we need grace in 2022 more than ever. It is loving well. It is holding loosely our personal convictions so that in heart we can be in harmony with one another. It's honoring one another. It's loving. What I mean, we're called to be different and to be in the world, but not of it. And so I think, you know, grace in 2022 might be about just replacing our right to be, I want to say a jerk, but that's not a nice thing to say. to be defensive and offensive in matters that are not eternal, nor central to our calling as believers.
Well, and so two things. One thing that you said that I want to circle back to in just a minute, but, you know, just listening on the issue of grace, like how in the world could we possibly show grace to others if we have not first received the grace of God daily in our own lives? And I think that's where grace and repentance hold hands, because if we don't, like we receive God's grace when we repent, when we know that we need it. But as long as we're trying to earn favor or earn grace by how good we get are, or if we're not even acknowledging that we need it because we're not, we just don't feel like repenting, wherever we land there, we're not receiving daily the grace of God, which is forgiveness. Yeah. Forgiveness. We can come to Him all day long and ask again and repent again. And this incredible, lavish grace from our Father through His Son that is ours, purchased by Jesus on the cross. And so I think that step one is to daily receive that grace by acknowledging our need for it and repenting.
Yes.
Often and always. And once we receive it and begin to live in it and experience that, then we're more likely to give it. We're more likely to extend it. We're more likely to see others through the lens of grace rather than to hold them to a standard of earning or getting it all right all of the time. But this is where I want to circle back, because you kind of said this at the beginning about what does grace look like? How do we give ourselves grace? And one of the things that you said was building margin. And you kind of alluded to it when you were talking about drinking your coffee quietly in the morning. So as we kind of wrap up this conversation, would you, and I know you said we're not standing on a platform of perfection, but I know that it is something that you have acknowledged as a need in your life, is to build margin in. And I also know that as a lot of times when I talk to women, margin is not something that is a regular piece of our daily lives. So can you talk a little bit about how to build margin into our lives, and what that looks like and why it's so important?
Absolutely. First of all, you're right. I'm not an expert, but I definitely, this is one of the main themes of my book, I Want It All. It is, and let me just kind of move in through that side door, because when I wrote my book, I Want It All, it's about having deeper faith, greater power, and more impact. And so I think if we stood before the Lord and said, you know, I want to live my life maxed out to glorify you and to make a difference and make an impact. That's what this book explores. And here's the backstory quickly. I was reading the book of Philippians one day, because we know it's a letter, so sometimes I'll want to read it straight through. And on this day, I actually read just the paraphrase version, so not like the literal translation, but the Message. And I love in my NIV Bible in Philippians chapter 3, where it says, so, you know, Paul says, I haven't figured this all out, but one thing I do is I press on towards the goal in Christ Jesus, you know, forgetting what is behind, fixing my eyes on what is ahead. And we all know that part of the Bible. And then, but that's verses like 12 to 14, but in verse 15, in the Message version, it says, so those of us who want, so all of us should think this way, meaning I want to leave the past behind, strive towards what's ahead, basically move forward in the grace and in the power of Jesus. And it says, all of us who are mature should think this way. And those of us who want everything God has for us, that is the Message version, something like that. That's my paraphrase of the paraphrase. But it's those of us who are mature, those of us who want everything God has for us. And I remember reading it that morning and sitting down and going, Lord, like in response, Lord, oh my gosh, I want everything you have for me. Like, how many times am I not praying, God, give me everything you have for me? And what that means does not mean some like, it's not unicorns and puppy dogs. It is in every pain, max it out for your glory. Give me your strength. In every struggle, give me your perspective. I want this to be maxed out, not for my comfort, but for your glory. And so that it is this constant moving forward, laying down. But when you talk about margin, when you talk about understanding grace in 2022, there's one thing that just rises to the forefront of my heart. And that is this. Is we need to be women and we need to be believers who understand the difference between conviction of the Holy Spirit and condemnation from the enemy. And we need to know how to speak to both. And so when we talk about repentance, conviction versus condemnation, these are very different things. And sometimes our denomination will speak into this. Sometimes we just walk around feeling like guilty women who need to confess everything and repent everything and ask the Lord. Like, as a little girl, I always felt like I had to ask Jesus into my heart every single Sunday. I didn't understand that once I had placed him as Lord in my life and called upon him to save me, that I was his, grafted in. Adopted. You don't rip up an adoption paper because a kid has a bad day. I'm still part of the family of God. So there's a difference. And actually, when on my podcast, Graceology, when I had Anne Graham Lotz on, she spoke to this and it still is so memorable to me. She said, Gwen, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we are his. So the asking him to be Lord of our lives and for him to come and be our savior, that is a one-time thing. He is our savior. If we have called him, then there's the lordship. She said, she talked to me about the difference between saying, Lord, please forgive me versus Lord, I'm sorry for this. She's like, because in Christ, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. There is no timeline in the sight of God. And so that has changed my narrative with the Lord. And so when there is conviction in my heart, that is of the Holy Spirit saying, you have stepped out of bounds and misaligned with, you know, the way you spoke to that person with your thoughts here, with your priorities here, with the, you know, what is your treasure? What is your time? All the things. So the conviction of the Holy Spirit is always purposed for restoration of the heart of a believer, to bring us closer back to God, to face us in his direction. That's the conviction of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So it's a restoring, it's a beauty. It takes us to that place of beauty, that place of healing, that place of peace. And in that regard, we can fall before the Lord and say, man, I am so sorry. And so that's a beautiful thing. And that is purposed for our growing and for our sanctification. Now, condemnation is different. That is when the enemy gets in our face and when he is telling us you are not enough, you are not good enough, you will never amount to a hill of beans, or it comes back through some of the things that were said to us when we were younger. Maybe some of the things that are said to us by people who are toxic in our lives. But condemnation is it's purpose to place and heap guilt on our lives. And there's no place for that in God's presence. Because with his, he is a God of love and a God of compassion. He is a God of restoration and peace and healing. Yes, he is holy. He is just. He made a way through the finished work of Christ for us to know his peace, his healing, his hope, his help, his deliverance, all of that through Christ. And he invites us in the book of Hebrews to come boldly to his throne of grace so that we can know him more and be known by him. That's where we have the margin that we need, and it's found in his presence. I recently did a blog post and a gig devotion on repentance, actually, on first love, my first love. If you look in Revelations chapter 3, I think it is, where Jesus says, you know, what happened? You know, I want to spit you out if you're lukewarm. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Lord, I am so sorry. And so my challenge, I guess, for myself in 2022, for all of us who are sitting around this conversation sit with the question, where was I? What was I doing? What are the things I was doing when I was closest to the heart of God? And just getting back to those disciplines. And I will say this, it's going to look different in every season of life. It looked different for me when I was single, when I was young married, when I had little kids, when I had kids in middle school and high school, and now I'm an empty nester. So every season there's different, we have to give ourselves grace for the season we're in. And be okay with that. If you're in a season with little kids, you probably don't have time for an hour a day Bible study. If you do, phenomenal. If you're a single mom, if you're a working mom, if you're a working woman in corporate America, if you're taking care of an elderly loved one, or there's just so many, every season is different and every, you know, ministry looks different every day. But it just needs to be about, I think for me, echoing the fruit of the Spirit, the embodiment of his power at work within me to the world around me. And that starts in my home. It starts in my neighborhood, in my church, and at the workplace. So all of those things, I think, I don't know if that's practical or not, but it's about the discipline, you know?
And I'm so glad that you brought up the difference between conviction and condemnation. And I think that, you know, that is something that we can all chew on a little bit more as we consider what, you know, the narrative that we've allowed in our thoughts and in our hearts. And I appreciate you bringing that up so much. Thank you for that. And just the hope that I even love in Hebrews that God invites us to his throne of grace to come boldly into his. It's just so... it's so exciting to know that that is ours in Christ. And so I thank you so much, Gwen, for all that you have shared today. And, you know, the resources that we've discussed, the Bible study, I Want It All, that's going to be in the show notes for anybody that is interested to go deeper into these subjects. And we are just so thankful for you joining us today on the podcast, Gwen. And for those of you who have pulled up a chair at the table with us, I pray that you have heard something on the episode today that you can take and apply to your life so that today is your best day ever. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Katie. I loved it.